From prairies to mountains, pine forests to deserts, the river deltas to their headwaters. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Mr. Texas, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis. Without a donor or management-controlled muzzle or leash, our Lone Star story of the day, House Committee moves the budget today over on that side. Senate passes its version of property tax relief with a unanimous vote, and the House finally starts voting on bills pretty late, and much more from the 88th Legislature, our Lone Star Story of the Day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. You truckers need to have your random drug testing program set up. Get it done with Allied Compliance Services. Reach them at AlliedCompliance.com. Also, we visit with Lubbock County Commissioner Jordan Rackley, Precinct 4. He expresses his displeasure at those delaying regulation of these game rooms around Lubbock County. Give you a little bit different take on that. It's been a lot of mention in the press and on the show, but Jordan Rackley's been right there with Commissioner Corley trying to get this done. All right, my friends, you can listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and other interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. I've got a lot of general news headlines. I'm going to, including a big thing out of Abilene and some other things. We'll get to those later in the show today. I want to start in with what's going on with our money in Austin. The Senate put out a press release very excitedly that they passed the unprecedented $16.5 billion property tax relief, that it was voted out unanimously, which is a big deal over there in the Senate. It's unprecedented. It's not a record tax relief. About half this money is for to maintain compression of school taxes that have already, that and the increase in values that relate to that, that were already passed in previous sessions. It's not quite as big a thing as they claim. They say it'll save homeowners about $800 a year in the next deal. I don't know, but it's Betancourt's bill. He's a great guy. It's good stuff. Gets your triples the over 65 and disabled exemption to 30,000 on that homestead. Does a lot. They're bragging about it. Oh, they underline unprecedented. They use a lot of exclamation points. Oh, what a big amount of money it is. And again, as I've told you before, there's a little bit of institutional dishonesty involved in all of this, whether it be the House's tax relief or the Senate's version of it, ladies and gentlemen, simply because the numbers that they're dealing with just don't add up to what they're making it appear. Frankly, more than a third of the promised 15, or in this case, $16.5 billion, so whatever, is just continues to buy down local school property taxes that were already compressed in a previous session of the legislature. And really, you're only talking $10 or $11 billion in new tax relief. Now, they don't like talking about that, but it is kind of cool that the Senate got it done unanimously. Meanwhile, the House is just now beginning to do the work it's supposed to do as far as hearing bills today. I like the headline at the Texas Scorecard by Brandon Walton's, House to finally vote on legislation. Oh, but no GOP priorities in that. House Calendars Committee, chaired by Dustin Burroughs of Lubbock, approved 8 bills for consideration next Tuesday and Wednesday. So finally something's going to go. I mean, they're not voting yet. It's for next week. And let's see, the first one is one of these ridiculous things, removing the phrase mentally retarded from state law and replacing it with politically correct severe intellectual disability. But the word retarded simply means exactly that, to retard, to slow, and that's where you get intellectual disability, is from a slow development or lack thereof. Then they got the ones that gets feminine hygiene products and diapers and things no longer sales taxed. Another one is regulating the use of the phrase Texas honey. allowing fireworks sales on the Hindu holiday of Diwali and exempting those with mental illness from the death penalty, which could ultimately be claimed to be everybody, I don't know, and allowing firefighters to drive patients in non-EMS vehicles. So the House, we're halfway through the session, and the House has just scheduled some votes finally. And it's really a shame. They for whatever reason on that side of the Capitol, they don't want to get to work. I mean, it's really embarrassing when the Senate's already voted properly. The big, and it won't look like the Senate's version by the time we're through with all this, but they voted the big property tax relief bill out of the Senate. They voted other things out of the Senate. And I mean, the full body voting on it already. I think that Karen Brooks Harper at the Texas Tribune did a good job this afternoon sort of summarizing the House budget. House panel set to advance biennial Texas budget with property tax cuts, teacher pay raises. Supposed to have done that this afternoon. I don't know if they got through it all or not because these committees are hard to follow. They take breaks and they get up and they go. But supposedly today they're going to have moved all that. Karen writes, the House Appropriations Committee signed off on the 2024-25 plan with at least $130 billion in general revenue. Will move the proposal to the full House. Committee's budget plan also recommends an additional $5 billion for public schools, more funding for higher education, $3 billion to boost mental health services, and another $3.5 billion for cost of living adjustments for retired teachers. First for that, for the retired teachers in nearly 20 years. But at a time when the state has an historic $32.7 billion surplus, it's actually 60-something billion if you figure all the funds, and record amounts of cash and reserves, the two-year budget before the House Appropriations Committee comes in well under the amount they have available to spend, and yet leaves out tens of billions in requests ranging from affordable child care and rent relief programs to pay hikes for state retirees. Tables some $350 million in requests from Governor Abbott to replenish his disaster and economic development accounts. And I'm sure that stuff's being held for negotiating purposes. It's more than 1,000 pages. They think it'll hit the House floor for debate right before Easter weekend, so during Holy Week. And it's just interesting. I think that, of course, the press take on it is exactly that. Oh, well, my gosh, they're spending money, but they're not spending nearly enough, because it's what we get from the Democratic Party in Texas and the press every time. Spend everything. So you never have any saved up. When you get in recession or something, you know, of course, then it would be awful. Of course, that's sort of what they want, because they want tax increases. It says the committee's also expected to approve an $11.5 billion supplemental budget bill that spends $5 billion of the state's surplus during the current budget. That's always filling holes. We're always backfilling budgets because you're budgeting 2 years out and you have disasters and things and you got to backfill. So I'm trying to think. They said that just like the Senate, budget writers in the House want to use at least $5.3 billion from the state surplus to lower property taxes. And boy, it's a lot smaller number than that number we keep hearing, isn't it? They said the marquee item in the House bill is $17 billion buy-down of school property taxes. On Wednesday, the Senate passed $16.5 billion. By the way, they do that so they can say, well, ours was bigger. Again, there's a lot of dishonesty in this because a big portion of that money is to continue tax breaks already passed in buying down school property tax rates last session, I believe, or maybe the one before. Anyway, it's not that big of a new property tax cut. A real question was asked by one of the economists at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, did Texas budget paying more getting less? And that's pretty much, yeah, okay, we're holding a line on some of the spending, but we're not really spending our money wisely and getting all we should out of it. No surprise there, it's government. Lubbock County Commissioner Jordan Rackler coming up in the next segment.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Do you have a skid steer? WestTexasAttachments.com. Do you need an attachment now? WestTexasAttachments.com. West Texas Attachments specializes in renting and selling skid steer attachments. Hay spike, got it. Post driver, got it. Grapple buckets, got it. Attachments for every skid steer job you need. WestTexasAttachments.com can get your skid steer doing whatever you need it to. WestTexasAttachments.com, and they deliver. Go to WestTexasAttachments.com.
Here's a man who thinks it's wrong not to fly your Texas flag as high as the Stars and Stripes. It's the Lone Star's Voice of Liberty, Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, my friends. We're visiting with Lubbock County Commissioner Jordan Rackler. He is the commissioner for Precinct 4 in Lubbock County. That is the northwestern quadrant of the county. Commissioner Rackler, I wanted to get your thoughts on this issue of this ordinance that Commissioner Corley came up with on that he'd been working on for some time to regulate these seedy game rooms around the county. I know that so much of the media attention has been upon Commissioner Corley. He's proposed the ordinance, and also on the county judge and the putative Republican from Precinct 1 and the Democrat who seem to vociferously oppose this. But all along, you've been right there with Commissioner Corley, I believe, in support of doing something about this. Your thoughts on the matter?
Robert, I believe that game rooms are not an ethical business to be running in any county, much less Lubbock County.
Yeah, they're legal, unfortunately, but I'm with you on that.
They are, thanks to the state. But as far as the county's abilities go, we do have the ability to regulate those game rooms. And I believe that if we regulate them, we can't stop them all, but we can get a hold of what we have. Currently, we believe that there are 64 game rooms in Lubbock County.
The question is, how do you even know? Because, you know, I purposely don't live in the Wonderbread new suburbs. I live in central Lubbock, an established Lubbock, and I travel in neighborhoods and areas that I guess a lot of the voting public doesn't. These things pop up and go away all over the place.
Yes, sir. They're popping up next to businesses, neighborhoods. We have law enforcement officers that are coming out saying, I look out my back window and there's flashing lights for a game room, dark tinted windows and vehicles coming all hours of the night. And the whole thing that started that was he came forth and said, I want you to know this is where I stand. But we don't even know, Robert, how many of them there are, because we don't know who the owners are. We don't know what the addresses of the owners are. None of them are taking care of all the proper tax documents, and there's nothing legal about them.
Well, in counties, Commissioner, in counties that have police these things for years, and I've said it ad nauseum here on the show since I read the whole state's press, folks, this isn't new, but what going back 15 years ago, we had counties doing it, and then there were some questions about what the legality was, and we ended up settling that court case. And then the legislature, about a decade or so ago, gave counties the ability to regulate these because it has been a problem. They go in and seize the machines, which are basically some kind of slot machine or something. They go in and seize the machines, but oftentimes it ends up the owners, he may have 40 more game rooms in the area. They don't We don't even know who the owner is. And this has been a problem in prosecution if you don't have the regulations set up. You don't even know who it is. They could be running everything illegally there. And it's just a bunch, it turns out the manager and everybody's just an hourly employee and nobody really knows who these owners are. Isn't that part of the point of regulating them so that when there is crime around there, not just the keeping them away from the neighborhoods and stuff like that, but when there is crime that we can effectively deal with it?
I believe that if we require a valid state of Texas driver's license and you have to apply in person, not send your representative or your $8 an hour manager, quote, $8 an hour.
Yeah.
Because it's cash, you know. But I believe if people come and they file the affidavits and the ordinances or the applications and the affidavits and all their personal information in person, face to face, I believe it will stop some of the riffraff of people that, because you don't, I mean, there's no regulations right now. You don't have to do anything. You just go rent a building and you throw in a game room and you're going. It's business.
And we know that these are the type of things, as you mentioned about cash. This is the money launderer's dream. I mean, everything like this is
everything.
This is how everybody from the drug trade, you name it. That's how they all launder money, is through stuff like this. And
Robert, I've had some very good conversations with people that have reached out to me that wanted to talk about the game room industry. And a couple of them are people that have been in the past game room industry that have worked for game rooms at an hourly rate. And people that live next door to them that have been involved with just watching the traffic and trying to figure out a way to stop them. And it's, the stories will blow your mind.
Commissioner Rackler, I've been watching this for years, and I mentioned on yesterday's show talking to Commissioner Corley that, I mean, going back over a decade, more than a decade, there have been people, you know, would be at some event, and they say, you know, what's going on with all that? What's all that? And you'd ask, and they'd say, well, I ask, and, you know, I don't know who they asked, the sheriff, the judge, I don't know. It'd been different people, at, you know, back then. And they would just kind of say, well, they didn't have anything to say about it. And over the years, I have built up from my own past experience the idea that there's probably a reason for that, because this is the kind of thing in Lubbock, Texas, the local culture, you would have thought would have been locked down the moment that we got the chance. I mean, you're young, but I remember just trying to, you know, at one strip club in the city, and the city, you know, had all kinds of ordinances to basically stop another. And when it went away, there's not one in the city limits of Lubbock. And all of these, I mean, this is just the kind of thing that people understand is a problem. And we've had shootings. We've got these things, like you see, your people told you, 24 hours a day, people coming and going. Why they all have blacked out windows? You know, you wonder about that too. What's going on in there that can't be seen? And you've got a whole bunch of people at the courthouse, at least two other commissioners, Kovar and the Democrat and the county judge, that seem uninterested in this. And are they not hearing from people? Because I've heard from people for a long time about how bad it is. You and Corley both say you've heard from constituents.
I can't answer for the others, but I can tell you that I have heard positive and negative things about an ordinance. One of the ones that has actually made me sit here and think is, fella called me the other night and he said, tell me why you're potentially going to raise taxes to enforce something that is already illegal in the state of Texas.
Well, but it's not.
I picked up the phone and called Carl Tepper and said, hey man, we could sure use some help.
But it is, I've been through this. I mean, I followed the entire development of the game room thing, and it's the fuzzy animal law. And basically, they're operating in a little bitty window of legality that's there to protect all the rest of us when we do a fundraiser at our church or we do something to give away, and so that we don't get busted on you know, gambling charges. And that's how all this sort of came about. So it is legal. The courts have said it's legal, but that doesn't mean the game rooms themselves are operating legally. And this is what amazes me, that our county judge, Commissioner Kovar, and the Democrat commissioner, the outright openly Democrat commissioner, don't seem to care about this, because everywhere where they've enforced this, they've raided and seized this stuff over and over because they weren't operating legally under the laws that allowed them to be there. They were doing, I mean, over and over you see this, the illegality, and yet there's this seems to be this wave from the courthouse saying, don't look over here, don't look over here. There's nothing going wrong with these places. And I just don't get it. Any last thoughts on that?
My thought is don't keep putting it off. If we can pass an ordinance, even if it doesn't go into effect until January, we have time to amend it. We got time to make the kinks all worked out of it, and we right. can give people their job roles and how they're going to enforce it. But the reason that Kovar says that he is waiting is because the sheriff has asked to go to budget with it for
Get more budget money. I get you. Yeah, get
and
more.
And I have people that are calling saying, you know, the commissioners have given them tons of money and the pay raises.
Why
do we need to go there now? We have a problem. Let's solve it. So
very good. We're out of time, Commissioner Jordan Rackler, Precinct 4, Lubbock County. Thanks for your time. Thanks for working on this.
Thank you, Robert.
Don't like the breaks? Some say the breaks are better than Pratt. But then again, those folks don't listen.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he and his wife visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be, very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. He added that the dental work he had done would have been about $12,000 at home, and of course that wouldn't have come with a fun vacation in which he and his wife toured volcanoes, hot springs, a nature and wildlife park, a coffee farm, a central market, and took a riverboat ride, went ziplining, and dined at some nice restaurants. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information. Cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
Native Texan or just got here as soon as you could. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. I want to get to some of our general headlines and we'll get back into the legislative stack. Abilene Christian University professor, an associate professor in the Department of Psychology, has been arrested, Charles Waddlington, and charged with sexual abuse of a child. Apparently there's some adopted children that even into their teens have claimed terrible sexual abuse. That story reported by KRBC. Texas Rangers radio voice Eric Nadell, one of the very best sports broadcasters and best baseball radio man I know in the country. And by the way, there's only two other MLB broadcasters been with their teams longer. Eric Nadell is going to step away for some mental health reasons. He says he's dealing with anxiety, insomnia, and depression, and he can't do the job. He's getting treatment, so he'll miss. Hopefully he'll be back, but he'll miss the beginning of the baseball season. FBI, early this morning, I had a press alert out of Houston that the FBI and other people were masked in North Harris County at a place and wouldn't tell what they're doing. Turns out they went and assisted the Waller County Sheriff's Office in some big raid on a motel regarding a hostage situation. And there was a shooting involving an FBI agent. They say no agents were injured, but one person is dead. And all the hostages were safely rescued, which leads one to believe that one of the miscreants there was killed by an FBI agent. That information out of Houston today. A Houston teenager, the one that on video we can watch body slam that poor mother to the ground after robbing her, come back throwing her, and she's now paralyzed. This guy's had his bond lowered. I mean, he had a $200,000 bond on this deal, and the judge went and lowered it to, I think, $100,000 or something. Yeah, to $100,000. And this guy's got, it's not just that, he already, aside from that aggravated robbery and an unlawful weapon charge, on January 26th, he's charged an aggravated assault with deadly weapons stemming from another incident on February 25th. But that's what happens when you let Democrats take over. Even under massive media scrutiny, you get these bonds lowered. Fox 4 reporting that an Arlington man, terrible thing, 55-year-old Kudair Hamdan, said, was helping a family member sell a car through a social media app, agreed to take a potential buyer for a test drive. Two young men arrived at his home that night. They left together in the car for the test drive. Detectives say one of the suspects pulled out a gun and shot him. He got out of the vehicle and collapsed. He was murdered. Then they took off in the car and then left it somewhere later. Just a sense, you know, just this awful, horrible stuff going on. And that big chemical plant explosion in Pasadena, Texas yesterday that rocked the whole area. Plant's fine. They're still operating. A truck driver was taken to the hospital in fair condition. They say it was an accident. They've ruled it was an accident. It was an unintentional release of liquefied petroleum gas from the tanker trailer. I guess the connection, the hose disconnect thing, it disconnected and there was a failure there and caused a huge fireball, burned the other two other trailers that were there, but the plant's still operating. That was a bad deal yesterday, scared everybody down there. Defunded Austin PD takes so long to respond to a DWI crash that, and again, you got a reporter who doesn't know anything about Texas calling it a DUI crash. We don't have DUI except in, the juvenile code. It's driving while intoxicated, DWI in Texas. This is from Fox News, Andrew Mark Miller. The driver was able to sober up and walk free. That's right, March 18th crash. Family, children were injured. People had all kinds of trouble. Cops didn't come, and it's because they've defunded it. Normally, they usually have about 25 people in that area. They only had five, they're learning now. And this guy sat in the car over 30 minutes, got out, fell to the ground, made weird noises, they claim, and everybody around said he reeked of alcohol and everything else, but by the time police got there, 2.5 hours, the guy was able to regain himself and not test positive for, you know, not be drunk on the test and everything. It's a terrible story, but it's what you get with this kind of thing. Hey, today in Texas history, in 1839, the Texan, no, not the Texan, but the Texan steamship, Zavala, I misread that. They've got it capitalized, so it looks like the name. The Texan steamship Zavala, named after, of course, our first vice president of the Republic, Lorenzo de Zavala. The Zavala was commissioned in the 2nd Navy of Texas. It's also the date in 2005 in Texas City when 15 people were killed, more than 100 injured in an explosion at a gas plant. And it's the day in 2015 Senator Cruz announced he was going to run for president in 2016. He outlasted them all except Trump. Came in second there. And it's the date, 1993, the Fort Worth Stockyards were incorporated. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations. They provide security, employment, background checks, surveillance. They do full investigations, criminal and civil. Take witness statements, that kind of thing, and much more. Learn about them at usainvestigations.net. Let's jump back into the legislative stack. I mentioned a piece by Daniel Sanchez Pino. He is an economist at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Texas budget paying more, getting less? He says, are we spending too little? He says, well, no, it doesn't look like it when you look at the conservative budget measurement that the TPPF came up with, where you keep it in line with inflation and population growth. I mean, yeah, we'll see. But then he asked, are we spending wisely? And he says the answer, sadly, is no. The Lone Star State remains behind the middle pack on the quality and performance of public services provided to citizens. According to U.S. News Best State Ranking, we occupy the 31st position in public service performance. Wallet Hub ranks us the 36th position on the overall quality of services. But there are other states, like Florida and New Hampshire, that have demonstrated that a low tax environment and high quality public service environment are compatible, not mutually exclusive, which is what, of course, a lefty would tell you. And he's talking about, look, the House and Senate, the legislature needs to improve by following the Texas Public Policy Foundation's recommendation to conduct private efficiency audits in every state agency, all of them. Said, for instance, thanks to House Bill 1516 last session, Public Consulting Group conducted an efficiency audit on the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, TANF, and released the results last year. The efficiency audit reported a duplication of services from the Alternatives to Abortion program, representing a potential savings of $41 million annually. This implies a savings per user of that program of $322, which exceeds the amount received by the average TANF recipient in 2022 of $300. Despite this finding, House Bill 1 would allocate an additional $120 million in the next biennium for a duplicative service that other programs can absorb, according to the Public Consulting Group. Even though House Bill 1 complies with all the limits, you know, population and growth, inflation and all that discussed before the budget, he says, would you pay extra for mediocre service, not in the private sectors? Well, some people do. Should we hold the public sector to the same standard? I think so. This is part of the problem. Even when we discover some of these things, there are people who still insist on throwing good money after bad and even more of it. And despite all the conservative talk, a lot of that's going on in the budgeting. I already spent the first segment talking about the House budget and all of that. There's just no reason to get into the super details right now because they're all still changing in both bodies. Then they'll have to, you know, you'll see what passes out of each. Then they'll have to reconcile with each other. I do want to talk about the ERCOT grid and the electric grid. Philip Jankowski, the big journalist star at the Dallas Morning News back in Texas, has a big piece up today, which is almost a follow-up piece of our interview that we did with Bill Peacock last, was that on Monday, I think it ran, with Bill Peacock. And you need to hear this, because Peacock is right, and there's more evidence of it.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
You are lucky. You know that? Every Thursday through Saturday for lunch and dinner and Sunday for that perfect traditional after church lunch, you don't have to go far to enjoy homemade, fresh, mouth-watering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls and unbeatable homemade desserts. The catfish is fantastic too. Where? At Pratt's favorite, Bell's Chicken Dinner House at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene, of course. Visit Bell's Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
Time at the lake, on the boat, or just fishing from the dock can be great fun and a great retreat. You know what would truly make that investment in time just right? Having the coolest dock on the lake or pond. Elite Custom Boat Docks, right here in the big country, is the creator of the best, most fun custom boat docks. Imagine enjoying time with a slide, trampoline, and diving spot on your dock. See examples of these custom creations at EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. Have the coolest, most fun, and functional dock on the lake with EliteCustomBoatDocks.com.
Jeff Barker Computer Service custom builds better quality, longer lasting servers and high-end business and gamer PCs for you at competitive prices. Jeff Barker Computer Service is your proven local computer builder for PCs and servers. They've been at it for several decades and are expert. And they service what they build even years later when some firms will not. Visit jbcs.com. jbcs.com to learn how Jeff Barker Computer Service can help you. jbcs.com.
Join the Lubbock Sportsman's Club for a meeting featuring Mark Fullingham as he discusses his Marco Polo and Mid-Asian Ibex hunt in the Tian Shan Mountains of eastern Kyrgyzstan. The hunts themselves were at elevations from 14 to 16,000 feet. There's no charge to attend a meeting. Come learn and socialize. Thursday, March 30th, 6:30 p.m. at Cook's Garage, Highway 87 and 114th. The Lubbock Sportsman's Club, Thursday, March 30th at Cook's Garage.
Every Pratt on Texas show is a special session. Here's your host, keeping Texas great, Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas on Monday's show. That's the 20th of March. And remember, now it's all podcast. You can go back and listen to it. Just go to prattontexas.com. We had a piece, Bill Peacock, on how legislators are missing the right fix to Texas electric grid. And we talked to our old friend, Bill Peacock, on this subject. He has almost a lifetime experience dealing with this from way back, and he talks about what we moved to decades ago and the success of it, and now how the politicians have messed it all up. Philip Jankowski today in the Dallas Morning News has a piece, Opposition Lining Up Against Senate Bill 6 in Texas. Energy experts and electric industry groups are calling a Texas Senate plan to back up the state's power grid. By the way, the House plan's no better, okay? Calling on the Texas Senate plan to back up the state's power grid with state finance, that means you pay for it. Fossil fuel power plants, the end of the free market in Texas electricity economy. That's exactly what Peacock talked about in our interview, and it's worth going and listening to that from Monday, the 20th of March. It's that bill, SB 6, one of the nine bills in the Senate, unveiled from Schwertner. It's is a suite of things to deal with the electric grid. Schwertner's gotten on this idea of having backup, you know, basically paying to build backup generation. I think it originally is talking about using low interest loans for generators to build it that we have, but he actually doesn't rule out just spending tax money directly. These are some of the quotes from the hearings on this stuff. It strikes me that we built this whole state's power system mostly based on competition, and this destroys that competition forever, said Allison Silverstein, an energy consultant who formerly worked with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, and the Public Utility Commission. The energy industry group Texas Competitive Power Advocates, which represents power production companies such as Vistra, NRG, and Calpine, also warned that SB 6, quote, signals the end of a competitive market, end quote, and would hasten the closings of older coal and gas power plants in Texas. Texas' competitive electric market has been the envy of the electricity markets around the world, but these bills would scuttle that prized market, the group's comment said. This is exactly what Peacock was telling you. The story says, taken together, these bills from Phil King and Schwertner, taken together, some industry insiders say they believe the bills could unravel billions of proposed investment in wind, solar, and battery storage. Good. I'm happy with that because we've got way too much of it on the grid already as a percentage. But then they say, as well as fundamentally restructure Texas' competitive retail market by imposing caps on market share. But some consider SB6's promise of a fleet of government-backed natural gas power plants as the most disruptive aspect of the plan. As it is proposed, a company building power plants imagined in the bill would get up to a 10% guaranteed rate of return on a power plant on the infrastructure that they may not have even paid for. Quote, it is interesting to see 40 years of pro-market orthodoxy thrown out the window to play favorites and use the government to pick and choose winners, said Michael Weber, Josie Centennial Professor in Energy Resources at the University of Texas at Austin. For more than 20 years, Jankowski writes in the Morning News, the ERCOT power grid, which provides electricity to 90% of Texans, has been a deregulated market. Companies that produce power for the grid have largely only been able to make money by selling electricity when they produce it. Right? That's what should work, isn't it? Market was designed to increase price competition and drive down consumer costs. And Peacock explained what happens. It was so successful that even some of the generators wanted regulation again, and little by little, the politicians have gotten involved so that, well, when it worked so well, you remember for more than a decade, we got more lower electric costs than almost anywhere in the free world in Texas, and it's brought industry here like crazy. Then they start fiddling with it, and they keep calling it a market, but it's not. They've been involved in the market, and we discussed that with Bill Peacock on Monday. So it got, the price got low. Then some of them wanted, well, we make a little more money in these regulated deals where they force the consumers with the line items on their bill to pay us for stuff, whether we produce it or not. And that's what some of them want to return to. Jankowski's piece says Senator Schwertner's plan recalls elements of a 2021 proposal from Warren Buffett's investment conglomerate Berkshire Hathaway to build a backstop of power plants that an energy subsidiary would pay to build with a guaranteed rate of return on investment similar to how the companies build transmission lines. Those power lines that bring electricity from power plants to households and businesses are paid through a line item on consumer electric bills. Now, the real problems in all this have to do with the wind and solar people. Because they're building these CREZ lines to bring it to you. They're building hundreds of miles of these. They're $1 billion. They're very expensive, and you're having to pay for them. And it's just awful. I mean, they can't even produce dispatchable power when it's needed the most. And it's turned the market upside down because they're getting subsidized in so many ways. So this is what bothered me. As Schwertner told the Dallas Morning News, the financing of construction of the power plants could come in many forms, including government-backed bonds or having investors shoulder the cost, but he's keeping the door open for the use of taxpayer funds to pay for their construction. This is insane. And it's dangerous. It's the kind of fundamental decisions that will have massive costs in the long run, and it's just disgusting to see it moving in this direction. Oh, there was a big piece in the Chronicle and the Hearst papers, of course. Texas teachers wary of Republicans' plans to, quote, lift up public schools. Edward McKinley, Republicans in the State House and Senate are pushing several major pieces of legislation they say are designed to make teachers' lives easier, including pay raises, investment in school safety, assistance rehiring retired teachers, and stricter rules for returning kids with behavioral problems to the classrooms. They point out school districts are struggling to hire teachers. Well, that's not unique. That's pretty much all businesses right now are struggling to hire people. And Senator Creighton said yesterday that in a hearing their goal is to lift up public schools like never before. And then they go into how, like, merit pay, the unions hate that, the teacher groups don't like it, that's just terrible. And you get into all this, and then, of course, it gets into all the homosexual stuff and everything else. But really what it comes down to is the headline, teachers wary of Republicans. But that's because, let me tell you something, I get these teacher unions' emails and publications. They lie. Now, there are a lot of senators will tell you this going back a long time. I mean, in fact, there are a couple of big, big, powerful, moderate Republicans in the Senate years ago that finally had enough when the teachers' unions just lied to all the teachers and the press amplifies their lies. I mean, just outright, not spin, not opinion, outright lies about what's in, like, school finance reform that we've worked on multiple times and other things. And it was sort of the end of those people's willingness to work with those organizations. You know, in other words, even though they'd been big, strong, I'm going to give teachers money, these groups lie. Of course the teachers are worried because all they ever hear is a bunch of left-wing propaganda from the AFT and the NEA through TSTA, that's the NEA in Texas, and so of course they're wary. They rarely hear anything about it. Now, my friends, there was a piece in the Texan today by Matt Stringer, Emergency Powers Reform, Vaccine Mandate Bans Considered in Texas Legislature. Let me just tell you, some of this stuff is good stuff, but other ones like Senate Bill 29 by Senator Birdwell sounds great. Keeps state or local official from closing private businesses or mandating vaccines or masks. The problem is it only relates to COVID, not other diseases. Don't be fooled by these things. Dustin Burroughs of Lubbock has a good one that's about vaccine choice. That's being backed by choice advocates. It simply requires the state to look at everything, including adverse reactions, including death and effectiveness of each vaccine and all of that. But again, just relating to COVID, which, you know, they'll just call it something else next time around. But at least there is some effort on this stuff, even if some of it is rather empty. Thanks for joining me, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget the podcast. You can hear the show if you missed part of it at prideontexas.com. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.